Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep into the cinematic adaptations of Frank Herbert's Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John. Are we diving deep minute by minute?
We do that. Yeah. Okay. It's minute by minute.
Yeah.
I think that is firmly established.
Okay.
Actually, you want us to do a full hour in this one?
Just rest of the movie. Fuck it. We're done.
No, we'll keep it minute by minute. Yes, and what a heck of a minute we have today.
Yes.
I'm just going to dive right in. I'm not going to talk about your day or anything. Let's just dive right in, man. We got some good stuff to talk about. So we are on the tail end of Paul's vision. This is minute 72 through 73.
Yep.
Starts with Paul's face on the screen, ends with a helmet in the rain. And what a jump
it's whiplash the minute. Yeah. We're starting the minute off with Paul cosplaying Maury Povich.
Yep.
So we're going right back into Paul's vision after just briefly being back at bedroom Paul, and we see Jessica holding a child, a baby. Yep. With the eyes of a bad.
Oh, blue eyes. Yeah.
Yep. She's Jessica's still, you know, in her little alcove that we were talking about with her, you know, Reverend Mother face tattoos and everything. And Paul's just like, hey, I know you're pregnant. Jessica's kind of taken aback in this moment.
A genuine look of shock on her face.
Yeah.
We don't get those a lot from Jessica. We get a lot of other looks.
We get
looks.
A lot of stress.
Yeah, we get a lot of other looks from Jess, but like genuine shock is typically not one of
them. Yeah, no, we're used to Stressica. So, but yeah, she's definitely like kind of taken aback, and Paul kind of gives her like a scared half smile kind of thing.
Not really like, a comforting smile.
Just I like don't
a,
know. Like he
just it was a
he almost looks
smile.
Sad in this moment.
Okay.
But Jessica's like, you can't know that. I barely know that. And it's only been a few weeks.
Yeah.
Which makes sense that she would know it because as a Bene Gesserit, she's, you know, fully in control of her biological functions.
Yep.
As we found out from earlier by her choosing to make Paul male instead of, you know, female, like she was instructed to create.
Yeah.
So,
but we don't really get a chance to dive too deep into that.
Nope.
Or to hear the rest of this conversation, because I mean, I can't imagine that it ends right there. I have to imagine the next couple of things.
I know you're
like,
pregnant.
How do you
right,
know?
I know you're pregnant. All right, I'm going to go get a snack now. Yeah. Later.
Okay, goodbye. Yeah. There's so many scenes in this movie where I just want to see the next 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Of people in the room talking. The Baron coming down from his floating my planet, my Arrakis, my Dune moment. I want to see the next 30 seconds in that room.
Just him awkwardly like descending.
I want to see the next 30 seconds in this room because that's a bomb that just got dropped here.
Yep.
But we don't get to see it because we hard cut directly to a title card with a new scene, a new location.
We are on a new planet.
Yeah.
It is raining. Clouds are all over the sky. We are not on Arrakis anymore. But it's not Caladan because...
This looks like a shit planet.
Well, I wouldn't say it looks like a shit planet. It's definitely more mountainous than Caladan was.
It looks not like as many terrible, oceans. Terrible, harsh weather.
Sure. I would say that. I was going to say, like, there's still greenery and stuff. It's not like Gady Prime where it's like a giant factory planet or whatever. Fair. That I would call Gady Prime a shit planet. No offense to our Gady Prime stands out there. But actually full offense.
We're here, man. We are on Seleucia Secundus.
Second salsa?
Nope. Seleucia Secundus.
Second salsa. Got it.
Okay. Second salsa. You gave me chawl. I'll give you second salsa.
Seleucia Secundus, the homeworld of House Carino. Yep. And the base of the Sardaukar army.
The eventual seat of House Carino.
I thought it was the seat of House Carino before they even ascended the throne.
I may have misspoke back then.
How dare you lie
to
me?
I know. I'm doing
How dare you?
Some here's my penance, I guess.
This is your retconning?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So there was the battle that, that the Carinos took place. The battle that took place where the Carinos kind of came into power was on a planet called Corin.
Corin, which is where they got the name Carino.
Yep. Yeah. So that is where they're from.
Okay.
This is talking way into the future of this, of the story that we're talking about, but, they eventually do, get put on Seleucus Secundus after Paul does his whole emperor thing.
Yeah.
So
spoilers, by the way,
sorry, spoilers. yeah, this will eventually be where the emperor's seat is.
Yeah.
Well, Emperor Carino's seat is, but I don't think it is at this moment.
The placard in the movie just says something about the starter car.
The placard in the movie says Imperial Army Planet. And I had a bone to pick with this.
Please go ahead.
Okay. So Seleucus Secundus is the more aptly called the prison planet for the Empire. You're in trouble in the Empire and you're going to, you know, quote unquote prison. I'm assuming one of the places, the worst place that you could be sent is Seleucus Secundus. This is not widely known that the Sardaukar are, you know, bred and trained and everything here. Mm-hmm. The Sardaukar are kind of like shrouded in mystery. People know about them, but not right. Like their origins and like how they're trained and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So this is a little bit of a shortcut that the movie's taking, which is fine.
Sure.
We don't need to know that backstory for the story.
I was going to say that's one of those moments where it's like, it's just not important to the movie watchers. Yeah. And if you included all these things, we would end up having a 5-hour long part one.
Give it to me.
Which I would love. I know you have the fucking cut, you know, scenes and everything somewhere in a vault.
So
WB, just give me the extended edition.
Yeah,
please.
Right.
I don't care if the CGI is half baked or whatever, like give it to me. I want it.
So a little bit more on Seleucus Secundus, just some little tidbits.
Sure.
So it is described as harsh weather, wild beasts, and difficult terrains.
Okay. We've definitely seen the difficult terrain in this opening shot. Like I said, it's rolling jagged mountains and shit. So
I mentioned that it is the prison planet for the Empire, where, you know, you're sent to pretty much die.
Sure.
It would take a very, very special person to survive here, and even more special one to thrive here. Kind of an in-universe trivia, this was once home for the Fremen during their migration before they got to Arrakis. One of the places that a portion of the Fremen people were sent, were sent to Seleucus Secundus to try and, just populate the planet, give the Sardaukar, you know, target practice, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the Fremen were not treated kindly.
Sure.
So they was temporarily a home here. I think it was something like 9 or 10 generations of Fremen lived on this planet.
Yeah. The wandering Zen Sunni.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From the outside perspective, it is the fact that the Sardaukar are bred and trained and everything is only a theory to people. They don't know for certain. It's a very closely guarded secret. And it's not confirmed until Paul does his stuff later on in the stories. So, it's a cool place. It's a very important place.
Yeah.
For us. And we get to see why, here in a second, because, we get to meet some Sardaukar.
We do. Before we talk about the Sardaukar themselves, I would like to talk about, now that's what I call Sardaukar Throat Singing Volume 47.
Absolutely. My favorite.
because we start our time here with Sardaukar Throat Singing from the priests and everything. So first things first, we need to give some respect where it's due.
Oh yes, please. Let's do it.
And I would very strongly recommend any of our users check out this website.
If you want to see kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah. All the different languages for Dune and everything
I'm sorry. I'm kind of cutting you off here.
Yeah.
Did you go back outside the Dune section?
Oh yeah. No, like okay. In the, yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Go continue.
So deadalves.com. That's deadalvs.com/work/dune. So this is, as it's described, David J. Peterson's web thing, which I love.
It is a directory. It's more than a website.
It is the most basic website, but it's super cool because yes, it is a directory and a website, but it gives you insight into a lot of the language.
Before you dive in, you've mentioned that name before, like way, way, way early on in episodes. Who is David Peterson?
Yeah, it was like one or two.
Yeah.
So David Peterson is the guy that came up with Chukopsa and came up with Sardaukar and came up with other languages from other TV and film series, including, you know, Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, which it's the same languages that are used in both of those shows. So he's done work for a bunch of things. You know, he's done work for Marvel with, you know, Doctor Strange and Thor, and he's done work for a bunch of video game developers like Blizzard with stuff for World of Warcraft. He's done stuff for CD Projekt Red with The Witcher, lots of really cool stuff. So I would very strongly recommend, if you're interested in languages at all, that's deadalvs.com/work.
I'll put it in the show notes for today's episode, just to link it, because it's a really cool website.
It's cool because there's not only examples of the audio, but there's examples of the text, and there's even audio files from David Peterson himself kind of explaining what, you know, or how things are being pronounced and why they're being pronounced in certain ways and stuff like that.
Yeah. I came across this website a couple days ago when I sent it to you, and man, I was like, how have I never seen this before? This is crazy cool.
So
check it out. But yeah, throat singing.
Yeah. So Sardaukar throat singing, David Peterson doesn't explicitly, you know, mention Tuvan in his notes or anything, but it's the closest comparison that I can draw. So if you're not familiar with Tuvan throat singing, it's this actually super cool method of singing where, and you're a musical person, so you'll understand, but basically you manipulate different folds within your vocal tracts to have like a one long droning note, and then you're using your throat and your mouth to manipulate overtones with it as
nice.
Well.
Nice.
I'm not going to try and do it because I can't.
I'm sure it takes years to master. Yeah,
there's so much that needs to be done to like do it effectively. Mm-hmm. Tuvan throat singing isn't the only kind of throat singing, by the way. Like there's been throat singing from all over the world, whether it's the Inuit peoples, the Ainu, which are on Hokkaido Island in Japan. Sardinia of all places has throat singing like a native thing. And then, you know, Buddhist chants in India and Tibet.
Sure.
If I could point to anything for you guys to go listen to, I'd very strongly recommend looking up Hunhurtu, Hunhurtu. They're a group of Mongolian artists that are incredibly talented. Like I ended up during my notes, it normally takes me, you know, an hour or two to write them. I ended up, you know, spending about 4 hours writing my notes just because I was sitting there listening to this hour long performance of theirs.
It quite literally put you in a trance.
Yeah, yeah. It's super relaxing, actually.
Nice.
The Who is a Mongolian, you know, metal band that also does a lot of throat singing.
Is that H-U?
H-U.
Okay, yep. Not W-H-O.
Nope. Not the British Who.
Okay.
The Who, H-U.
I want to make that distinction.
Yep. Good call. But then even like a lot of modern metal artists take a lot of, you know, inspiration from Tuvan throat singing. You know, you have artists like Will Ramos from Lorna Shore. You have Vessel from Sleep Token. So it's really cool to like see this super old, like pre-civilization method of singing still have a place in, you know, modern art. And clearly it's influential to the point where we're seeing it in movies like Dune.
Yeah. Just a little side note, when you were going through those metal band names, I thought you were trying to activate like a Manchurian candidate. Like those words just sounded made up to me.
Nope. Nope. Would very. So you're a nerd.
Yeah.
You got to give Sleep Token a listen. It's really fucking good. Like, okay. It's more like heavier, but not like deathcore, but heavier prog rock. Their drummer too.
Mm-hmm.
This man is built different.
Okay.
Like
metal drummers are all just as a whole.
Yeah, no, but this guy is insane.
All right. Like, I'll check him out.
Would strongly recommend it. But anyways, yeah, that's just a little bit about Tuvan throat singing and some of the artists I think that are really cool to listen to. Another artist, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, is Heilung. They are, I don't know what country they're from, some Scandinavian country or whatever.
As they typically are.
I think. But they also have like a lot of really cool throat singing stuff going on with their music as well. Anyways.
So the metal music minute.
Yeah.
This is the metal
music. Now that's what I call Sardaukar throat singing.
Yeah. Clearly this style is very influential.
Yes.
It has far reaching influences.
So back to the movie.
Yes.
We see shit ton of soldiers in formation.
So many.
I actually sat there and counted.
I was hoping you would.
Yep. So there's three battalions. Each are composed of rows of 40 by 20, so 800 soldiers a pop.
Okay.
So 2,400 soldiers just chilling in this shitty rainy weather.
Yeah. Okay. So this is spoiling something that I was going to say tomorrow, I believe. Yeah.
Yep.
In the U.S. military terms,
sure,
a battalion is about 1,000 soldiers. So this still checks out. So I had in my notes that we were looking at about 3,000 soldiers.
Yeah. So we get a moment away from the soldiers, though, get to see a closer look of the, I just call them priests.
Yeah.
Just kind of up on his tower doing his throat singing thing. And he's doing like this weird, like
a weird Macarena.
Yeah.
He's doing a weird Macarena dance. Yes.
But then we're back on the ground with the soldiers.
Yep.
Other priests are walking around just with a little bowl. And what's in the bowl? Blood.
Yeah.
They're just thumbprinting everyone between the eyes with some blood.
I don't. So this is maybe a perceived inconsistency in the movie.
Okay.
So right after this, look, actually, you know what? I'm going to put a slight pin in there. Let's talk about the next scene.
Okay.
Because then I'll get into my grab.
Okay.
So they're putting the mark of blood on the soldiers' foreheads.
And they're also holding not rosaries.
What?
I call them not rosaries. They're basically rosaries, just okay. Not with, you know, Jesus and shit. But they've got like, so they're dipping their thumb in the blood and they're putting it between the eyes of, you know, the soldiers and stuff. But they've got like this, like, chain with beads and stuff.
Oh, I didn't even clock that.
And everything too.
I mean, this is clearly it's a very like religious ceremony that they're going through.
It's either religious or it's like just, you know, more Sardaukar
fanaticism,
brainwashing. Sure.
Well, yeah, the Sardaukar are described as like fanatical warriors,
which makes sense.
Yeah. They think and they believe like wholeheartedly that because they were raised on Seleucus Secundus, which is one of the harshest planets out there, they believe that they are quite literally better than everyone else. And that's what gives them their, you know, perceived superiority.
Yeah.
It's got very close ties to their religion. Mm-hmm. And so this, it all does make sense that they're going through this ceremony. The next scene that we get is, one of the coolest ones in the movie to me.
Yeah.
This was one that was leaked before the movie came out. I remember seeing like this, like a screenshot from this.
Of the upside down T-posing guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just all of like, I mean, it's basically a bloodletting of the, I guess, prisoners Or I guess the other theory that I saw was these are Sardaukar recruits that didn't make it through training.
I assumed prisoners just because it is a prison planet. But who knows?
Yeah.
I counted. There's 36 of them at least. It's a lot of blood.
Yeah, they are upside down or on an incline with feet above heads.
Yeah, upside down T posing.
Yeah.
I would assume that their necks are slit.
Probably.
It was kind of hard to tell. You had to
keep the PG-13 rating. I think they didn't show a close up of it.
I'm amazed that they're able to do that.
I know. But their blood is draining into these channels, and so here's my inconsistency.
Okay.
So the planet is raining, very heavy rain right now.
Yeah.
It is mixing with this blood. We see a priest come to one of the basins that the blood is draining into and dip their cup into that.
Yeah.
Now the thing that
he dunks it, but
sure. Dunks it in there, picks it up, fills his cup back up. That is a very watery substance that we see go into that bowl.
Mm-hmm.
When we see the priest from a few seconds before put the mark on the...
Oh, it's definitely thicker blood.
It is thick there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, this what's happening between like getting it out of the basin to rubbing it on the foreheads? They're thickening it up somehow. They're making like some jam.
After they dip, they just have like a little vial of cornstarch or whatever.
Yeah, just like pectin or something.
Gelatin.
Yeah. I don't know. These are, again, things you see when you watch this shit minute by minute.
Yep.
And I was like, that seems strange. Like, it's clearly supposed to be the same stuff, but it's a different consistency. So, yeah. I don't know. Take it what you will. Has no bearing on the overall story. It's just a thing that I saw.
That's just you nitpicking.
Yeah. I saw a nit and I picked it.
but yeah, there's just a bunch of dead dudes just hanging out upside down.
Yeah.
And then I also noticed that they seem to have like a tattoo identifier over their right eyebrow.
They do. And I
tried looking up information and I couldn't find anything up.
I tried as well. And that's what led me to David Peterson's website.
Oh, cool.
That was like how that path started.
Okay.
I couldn't find anything either on it. So who knows? Just another in universe thing. It's
probably just their equivalent to dog tags or whatever.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah.
Then we get a close up shot of one of the Sardaukar in a helmet. And that is where the minute ends.
Yep. Before we wrap up here with that close up shot with the Sardaukar in the helmet, we do hear, you know, if you listen closely, because there's also the sounds of the rain and the throat singing and everything, but you can hear the Sardaukar like breathing heavily through his helmet and everything too. Mm-hmm. It's kind of got, you know, Darth Vader vibes and sure. shit to it.
Well, that's how you denote that someone is evil.
Of course.
cool. That's all the notes that I had, and we're running long on this episode.
That's my hyper fixation with throat singing and metal bands. So my bad, but
that's good. That's good. Cool. Well, we will be back tomorrow to finish out, or at least continue our time on Seleucus Secundus.
Yep.
A lot of important stuff comes up tomorrow. So a
very important conversation.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll be back. If you'd like to reach out to us, we are on Instagram at The Dune Minute. We are on Twitter at Dune Minute. And you can send us a good old-fashioned email at duneminute@gmail.com. Yeah, with that, we'll be back.
See you later.
See you.